Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case today, of course. I've kind of narrowed my topics down to just the Meier case. And I entitled the show, When Tangled Ideas Confuse the Thoughts. But before we get to that area, I want to talk about the difference between the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness comes from your spirit form, and all human beings have a spirit form. It's a tiny fragment, a tailstock, heart piece, as it's called, of the universal consciousness. It never dies. It never sleeps. It records everything that you do. And it, when you're in the material realm, your material consciousness dominates. The material consciousness is your personality. It's your conscious mind, your subconscious mind. Your material consciousness is active doing things like, if you're an author writing a book, if you're a musician playing music, if you're programming computers, anything creative that you do, that comes from your material consciousness. And your material consciousness is only really alive while the body is alive. Your material consciousness does go with the spirit form when death occurs. So 21 days before the embryo, or 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, while the little baby is an embryo, actually, the spirit form comes out of the spirit realm, and it brings with it the material aspect of the consciousness, your personality, your new personality, your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind. And that spirit form brings the new material consciousness into this center of your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And the superior colliculus plays all these interesting roles with your brain. It integrates your senses like sight, taste, smell. And when the spirit form comes into the embryo, the heart starts to beat, the brain starts to function. There's electrical activity in the nervous system, and at that point the child is alive. Now, its material consciousness is completely undeveloped at that point, but except for its subconscious, the subconscious of the child has been programmed with all of the information from the previous life that was important and relevant, all of the essences of what you learn in terms of logic and confidence and enthusiasm and cheerfulness and thankfulness and discernment and wisdom, all of that information has been programmed into your subconscious. And when when the spirit form was in the spirit realm, the spirit form also absorbed all that information. And it takes a while for the spirit form to complete this process, because if we live 100 years, we should spend about 152 years in the spirit realm. The spirit realm you could think of as an energy band around the planet. It's this different dimension. And what happens is when death occurs, the spirit form leaves the body and takes the consciousness with it. And the consciousness goes into something called the overall consciousness block. And this is a storage bank in the other world. And this process goes on where the overall consciousness block and the spirit form are going through your whole life story, pulling that information out that has advanced your evolution. You see, the whole point of our life is evolution, and what's called the evolution of the consciousness, which is a higher level of evolution than, say, animals go through. Animals go through instinct evolution, and higher evolved animals also go through intelligence evolution. So the human being grows more intelligence with each lifetime, but it's even a higher level of evolution than, say, just intelligence evolution. So we should be spending time and a half in the spirit realm. Like if you live 100 years, you should be spending about 152 years in the spirit realm. That is not occurring right now because of the overpopulation problem on the earth. And this is a source of great controversy for people. But there really is a very bad overpopulation problem. There's something like 100, I'd have to look at my notes, I think it's over 100, something like 189 million or 189 billion spirit forms that have been activated that have had at least one incarnation. And that's because of too many people on the earth. So things are out of balance in the spirit realm as well as the physical world at this time. And it's a very, very critical situation here on the earth. I don't know if in this episode if I'll talk more about overpopulation, but it's kind of a deceptive problem because people, when they think of the space required by a human being, they don't understand also you have to think about all the space required to produce that person's food and to produce that person's clothing and any material possessions they might have. I mean, if you just look at, and I've talked about this before, just if you turned all 7 billion people on the earth into meat eaters or beef eaters, you'd probably need a population of something like 14 billion cows. Or even if you just kept one cow for each person for their lifetime and you kept a population of roughly 7 billion cows alive, then the tremendous space that would take up. I did some calculations on earlier shows. That's like 21 million square miles just for that cow population that you would need, which would be all of the United States, all of Canada, all of Alaska, all of South America, and then all of Russia, just to keep those 7 billion cows on functioning. Most, or a good portion of the world, has a very difficult life, and they don't even get nearly the food they should get. So, but let me not belabor this. I just wanted to point out, in talking about the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness that now even overpopulation is starting to affect the spiritual consciousness of people because they're not getting enough time in the spirit realm to learn or really absorb what they experienced in their last lifetime. See, it takes about a lifetime and a half in the spirit realm for the spirit form to slowly step through everything that it actually even recorded, because the spirit form, it never sleeps, it never dies, it records everything that you do, even what are called your impulsations. Well, let's talk a little bit about those impulsations, because at the beginning of the show here, I wanted to talk about the differences between the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness. One of the things that the spirit consciousness does, or the Geist form does, is it sends impulses to the material consciousness. Now, you have to keep in mind that if you're a normal earth human, your spiritual consciousness is 4.5 million years old. So you have had a whole bunch of material lifetime. Now, you can't remember them all, at least not directly. At this level of our evolution, we can't really, but later lives we will. When we get to the age of recognitions, we'll be able to handle dealing with all those previous lifetimes, because you have to remember, each lifetime has a certain amount of trauma associated with it. So you don't need to open up your material consciousness to dealing with even more trauma. So not remembering is kind of a blessing. So again, before I get to some of these weightier matters in the mind of thoughts, like how we can become a murderer by thinking the wrong way, I thought I would just review this whole idea of the spiritual consciousness, because the spiritual consciousness is completely neutral. It is just like the universal consciousness. It never is angry. It's never upset. It will never have tangled ideas. It's always perfectly neutral, cannot be harmed in any way by anything in the material realm. Now, on the other hand, the material consciousness is something that we have to help evolve each lifetime. And that's the big challenge, is that it's very important for us to learn as much as we can every lifetime, because your lifetime has a cause and effect relationship with other lifetimes here on the earth. For example, your lifetime could positively or negatively affect people farther down the timeline. So there's a tremendous responsibility here to evolve and learn as much as we can. And the most important aspect of our spiritual lives is not really just the learning, because it's like a practice. You have to build a skill set. And the skill set comes from repetition in many ways. So let me give an example quickly. We all have a subconscious. And I'll get into the work of Bruce Lipton just a little bit here. Our subconsciousness has been programmed unfortunately. And it's programmed by a lot of the negative thoughts that your parents have, the wrong thinking of the society that you're in. And one of the things we struggle with is, despite the fact that our spiritual consciousness is impulsing, our conscious mind, Semyase, Billy's third contact, when she wrote, when she talked to Billy, and Billy wrote it down in Contact Report 10, right around 1975, one of the things she said was, your spirit form will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. And I don't think it was ever elaborated, at least I don't know exactly where it was elaborated on what your spirit form does. But I know in other areas, for example, in the book The Psyche, it talks about the spirit form impulsing your consciousness, your material consciousness. And I'm speculating a bit here, but I believe what happens is the spirit form, again, will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. Semyase told us that, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So I think what happens is the spirit form sends us an impulse, and it can be, yes, that's a good thought, a healthy thought, or no, it's an unhealthy thought. And once we get the thumbs down from the spirit form that that's an unhealthy thought, I think it triggers an emotion, or not an emotion, but a feeling in our material consciousness. And it's usually an uncomfortable feeling. Now, your feelings grow out of your thoughts. So this impulse of thumbs down by the spirit form, wrong healthy thought, wrong unhealthy thought, triggers some kind of thinking, automatic thinking maybe, I'm guessing, by the material consciousness. And then out of that comes an uncomfortable feeling. So examine yourself and look internally and see if you see a similar kind of thing going on. So if we get a feeling that tells us, oh, that was an unhealthy thought I just had, and we ignore that, we're ignoring the law of harmony. There's a law, that the universal law, that says we need to have harmony in our thinking. That means a neutral positive thinking. So if we ignore that, well, we can start to trigger a chain reaction in our thoughts and our feelings. And that's when you get things like, as I said earlier, in contrast to entangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another. So when you ignore the feeling that tells you this is an unhealthy thought that I've just had, if you do that enough, you know, you may get five or six impulses. Unhealthy thought, unhealthy thought, you think it again, unhealthy thought, you think it again, unhealthy thought. Well, if you keep ignoring and disregarding this law of harmony, your thoughts, your ideas will be tangled. You'll be disoriented, you'll be bewildered, you're unclear, you're perplexed, you're confused, you're unsure, you're kind of lost, okay? And when you get in this state, your thoughts can go abruptly from one extreme to another. And this causes a misdirection of the thoughts, which will then trigger emotions. And those emotions can can eventually, if unchecked, can lead you to manslaughter and murder. So tangled ideas lead to confused thoughts. Confused thoughts will be thoughts that go abruptly to one extreme or another, and they'll eventually be misdirected. Your thoughts will go in the wrong direction. And this will trigger emotions. Notice that in this case, your thoughts are not organized at all. Your ideas are tangled. And when this condition arises, there's kind of a frantic behavior that results. And I watched just a YouTube video of a very well-known Ultimate Fighting Championships thing that took place last weekend. That spilled over into the audience and a gigantic brawl occurred. And it's very interesting because if you look at Contract Report 215, as I talked about last show, I was talking about the fact that our society is not a real society, and civilization as we know it's going to end, could end, if we stay on the path that we're on. But ideas, let me talk about tangled ideas. Now, ideas, as the way Billy uses them here, are incompletely developed factors which need to be completely contemplated, completely reviewed. But the problem is people, they get caught up in these unripe ideas. They cannot become free of them. And they keep, there's a concept that's replaying in their mind that's just triggering emotions. It's triggering disorientation and making you feel perplexed. So we have to shut down this wrong thinking when it gets out of control. And how do you do that? It's not easy. One of the ways I've found is to memorize healthy thoughts. Have a whole series of healthy thoughts that you memorize. Now, one of the things I tell myself is I'm confident. I start out and tell myself I'm confident. That's the thing, because when you're triggered, it's usually out of self-defense. You may not recognize it that way, but you're threatened in some way. So you tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm cheerful, I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony. So now, even saying that has started to fix your consciousness. And tell yourself, I persist, I persevere. And to persevere means to continue a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. Tell yourself, I endure, I am calm, I am satisfied. Now that's going to start bringing you back in alignment, and your emotions are going to calm down. You're going to gain control of your faculties again, and you'll gain inner freedom again. And a couple of the things you can throw in there is, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. My consciousness is like a garden filled with healthy flowing plants. I strengthen my thoughts. I nurture my thoughts. I allow them to become more purposeful. I clarify my thoughts. One of the most important things you can do is clarify your thoughts. Clarify involves repeating them. Clarification involves kind of breaking things into their component parts and analyzing them. Clarifying your thoughts is really important. It takes all that bewilderment away and allows you to gain control, and the concepts I'm talking about are between pages 200 and 230. And harmony, that is what we're trying to talk about here. You're reproducing harmony, and the law of harmony is one of the creational natural laws. And harmony and enthusiasm seem to go hand in hand. So I think the psyche tends to produce enthusiasm towards work when there's harmony in your consciousness. And when there's harmony in your consciousness, things flow, dream, which is very pleasant for the human being. And when you do this, you control anxiety. So anxiety will not control you. So anyway, this is kind of a way to avoid the downfall of what I'm talking about, which these tangled ideas. Now, what do tangled ideas do? Remember, a tangle is something twisted, it's confused, it's jumbled up, it's messy, it's chaotic. So when your thoughts are confused, you're not able to think clearly. You're bewildered. You have a disordered consciousness. And another thing is sometimes we lose the ability to do a linear thinking, like a step-by-step thinking, when we're in that confused state. And the thoughts, they can go from one extreme to another, like love and hate. Your emotions can be triggered. And when your emotions are triggered, it can lead to manslaughter and murder. You can become irrational. And virtue and rationality are lost when you're in this state. And you cannot set a zeal anymore, what's called setting a zeal. So anyway, I'm going to have to cut the show a little short. Hi, Gemini. I'm sorry to have to leave, but I'm going to have to take care of a few things. The situation has arisen here, as it sometimes does. And this is Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we will catch you soon. Matter of fact, we'll upload another show on Saturday. Thanks a bunch.